Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The Labor Commissioner's Office has cited farm labor contractor M.G. Luna Incorporated of Parlier and growers Madera Persimmon Growers Incorporated of Madera and Williams Farms Incorporated of Kingsburg just under $2 million for wage theft affecting 356 workers who harvested persimmons and blueberries. The Labor Commissioner's Office has cited farm labor contractor FLC M.G. Luna Incorporated of Parlier and growers Madera Persimmon Growers Incorporated of Madera and Williams Farms Incorporated of Kingsburg just under $2 million for wage theft affecting 356 workers who harvested persimmons and blueberries. The Fresno County-based FLC registered to Maria Guadalupe Luna collected wages from the growers but failed to pay the workers. The FLC also hired workers to harvest blueberries on Luna's own farm and failed to pay them. The agriculture industry has the upchain liability laws holding client companies responsible for unpaid wages when their contractor fails to pay their workers. In this case, the growers who contracted with MG Luna will pay the owed wages to workers, according to Labor Commissioner Lilia Garcia Brower. To avoid liability as client employers, growers have an obligation to ensure that the FLCs they hire are licensed in good standing and paying legal wages. The LCO opened its investigation into the companies in September of 2019 after receiving a referral from California Rural Legal Assistance Incorporated. The investigation focused on dozens of wage claims workers filed against the FLC and the growers for non-payment of wages or for receiving checks with insufficient funds. A new avocado developed by the University of California Avocado Breeding Program is about to hit the world market. The Luna UCR avocado will complement the widely known Haas avocado. According to UC researchers, the Luna variety grows on a tree about half the size while producing approximately the same yield per tree as the Haas variety. The original Lunas were planted in Camarillo, and advanced trials were conducted in Tulare, Orange, San Diego, and Ventura counties. University of California researchers say satellite data is revealing increasing levels of nitrogen dioxide in remote forest areas of the state. The chemical can harm plants and crop yields. While short-lived in the atmosphere, it contributes to ozone and particulate pollutants, which can cause respiratory issues and asthma. Researchers say wildfire and soil emissions are contributing reasons for the increase in nitrogen dioxide levels. Their findings from satellite data were published in a Journal of Environmental Research Letters. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced an $800 million investment to help rural cooperatives and utilities improve infrastructure and increase electric grid reliability. The funding will also provide clean water and sanitary wastewater systems in rural areas. The USDA said the program will benefit communities in California, 35 other states, and two U.S. territories. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said powering people with modern infrastructure creates good-paying jobs and supports opportunities for people to build brighter futures. University of California Cooperative Extension scientists will be partnering with regional farms to demonstrate climate-smart agricultural practices. The project, to be led by the UC Agricultural and Sustainable Agricultural Research and Education Program, recently received a nearly $2 million funding award from the UC Office of the President. The effort will strengthen the California Farm Demonstration Network and support regional farms in practices such as cover cropping, reduced tillage, composting, hedgerow planting, and optimized irrigation. The International Fresh Produce Association has announced the slated new officers and directors for the 2024 IFPA Board of Directors. The volunteer leaders will be confirmed by a ballot shared with membership. The group will begin its board service at the 2023 Global Fresh Produce and Floral Show, which is October 19th through the 21st in Anaheim. The IFPA Board of Directors is guided by the Executive Committee, which will be led in 2024 by current Chair-elect John Anderson, who is a Chair, CEO, and Managing Partner of OPI, and current Board Chair Laura Himes, who is Vice President of Fresh Sourcing for Walmart, who will assume the role of past Board Chair. Both Anderson and Himes will take the stage in Anaheim at the Global Produce and Floral Show in October to share their reflections on IFPA accomplishments in 2023 and what members can expect from the organization in 2024. E&J Gallo's Luxury Wine Group has announced it has reached an agreement with the Rombauer family to purchase Rombauer Vineyards, producer of critically acclaimed wines from Napa Valley, Sonoma County, the Sierra Foothills, and the Santa Lucia Highlands. Founded in 1980 by Corner and Joan Rombauer, Rombauer Vineyards is known for its high-quality wines, exceptional vineyard sites, and commitment to sustainability, as well as family-style hospitality. Four decades later, the winery has become widely acclaimed for its well-balanced fruit-driven varietal expressions. The acquisition includes the Rombauer Vineyards brand, three winery and production facilities, two tasting rooms, along with over 700 acres of sustainably farmed vineyards in Carneros, Atlas Peak, St. Helena, Calistoga, Sonoma Valley, and the Sierra Foothills. While wrapping up its 130th season, Sunkist is focusing on the return of the California citrus season. With a grower base of over 1,000 members and a portfolio of conventional and organic citrus offerings, Sunkist is allocating additional resources to its Category Management and Consumer Insights program, promoting Cassie Howard to Senior Director of Category Management and Marketing. In this new role, Howard oversees Sunkist retail marketing promotions and global branding programs, driving the next phase of category management solutions at the company and feeding insights into strategic marketing tactics. For the past 5 years, they have seen how important industry data can be to customers, says Christian Harris, Chief Operating Officer at Sunkist Growers. He says they're focused on supporting their partners in real time to make better business decisions by providing factual-based recommendations with marketing and merchandising tools that support what consumers want to see in stores. Sunkist's access to consumer behavior insights and category management solutions over the past few seasons has been pivotal to positioning merchandising offerings, packaging solutions, and benchmarking opportunities for partners of the cooperative, according to the company. The company says they are gearing up for the return of its California oranges and has newly commissioned category studies and consumer insights ready to tackle the season ahead.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante. Imagination, innovation, science in action.
To accelerate adoption of climate-smart farming practices, the University of California Office of the President has awarded nearly $2 million to a team of UC Cooperative Extension scientists and community partners working on a network of farm demonstration sites. The project will be led by Sonia Brote, Coordinator for Agriculture and Environment at the UC Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program. Scaling up soil health and other climate-smart agricultural practices to sequester carbon, increase water and nutrient use efficiency, and improve the resilience of farms to climate-related threats like drought and floods is a core pillar identified in California's Natural and Working Lands Climate Smart Strategy.
With climate change accelerating and the impacts accelerating, we really need to utilize all strategies that we can including using fewer fossil fuels and things like that, but also working with agriculture to really step up ability to sequester carbon in the soil and in above ground landscapes, also like in woody vegetation, hedgerows and forests and things like that. So on that front, there's already been funding given by the state through programs like the Healthy Soils Program and irrigation programs that help to reduce CO2 emissions by helping farmers, actually giving them funding to help them increase these practices on their land. But we see, and that's been a fantastic boon to agriculture in the state, but at the same time, it's not enough. We need more and to do it more quickly. And so we're trying to kind of, in this project, harness multiple different resources and bring them together to help do that. There's also the need to adapt to all the impacts of climate change that are happening right now, like the floods that we had this past winter, and then the droughts we had the last 2 years before that. It's just one extreme to the other. And having healthy soils on farms will help farmers to kind of ride those extremes a lot better. Because if you have more life in your soil, more carbon and more the biodiversity of your microbes in the soil is better, then you'll be able to you'll have more of those compounds that help improve the soil structure and that will help to hold water in your soil so that if there's like a sudden downpour, it'll infiltrate quickly instead of running off of your land. And on the other side, if there's not enough rain, whatever does come, it will be held in your soil for your crops and not just run through it down to where the crops can no longer reach it. So that's just one example of how healthy soils helps farmers, and there's many more, helping attract pollinators and different possibly helping with soil-borne disease management. So for all these reasons, just working on these healthy soil practices and thinking about it as a climate change adaptation strategy is really important in this day and age.
The fundamental idea behind all of this, Broet said, is while the state has many excellent agricultural extension professionals, there comes a point where even that level of expertise isn't enough for the issues many growers are facing today. Taking California's diversity of crops, soil types, and microclimates into consideration, the goal is to harness what many farmers themselves are doing to innovate and combine that with the knowledge of extension personnel by creating local demonstration farms where other farmers can come learn and potentially adapt new solutions to their own situation.
Having these demonstration sites gives more of a tangible place where people can really see things in action and understand better how it will work in their own microclimate and in their soil type. And so we want to have this whole network of demonstration farms across the state, starting out with some key areas that we're focusing on, the North Coast area and the Sacramento Valley, and then the Ventura area, and a few places in between. But the idea is to get these farms as places where demonstrations can take place, extension events can happen, and also farmers can start meeting each other and kind of working together more as a group to figure out how do we really manage the challenges of implementing these practices. And so we're bringing different forms and sources of knowledge together. That's one of the key things in this project. And so what I hope to do, I'm part of the statewide program. It's the UC Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education Program. And I will help play this role of coordinating this whole network, figuring out what the professionals need in any given hub, and then to work better in their area, and then seeing what we can do to provide those resources, which might be some like short-term trainings, or they might be skills like videography to make videos of what farmers are doing and make those available, or any number of things like that to just build the capacity of all of this statewide network to really function effectively. One of the components of this project is to build up an organic farm demonstration network also across the state, so that other organic farmers can find examples of how to manage, and especially since there's much less research in organic systems. So this will help accelerate kind of the thinking around organic practices and how to move those forward in the environment of our crops here in California.
The project will also conduct soil health assessment activities to inform soil health and resilience monitoring protocols in future research and extension efforts. Since many existing soil health metrics were designed for agroecosystems in the Midwest and Eastern United States, this project aims to lay the groundwork for research to adapt soil health metrics to the arid and Mediterranean climates of California.
It's becoming more and more clear that there have to be metrics that tell us something about the biology in the soil, because ultimately it's this ecosystem below ground that is maintaining all the functions of the soil that farmers need and that we need to keep even our air clean and again, to sequester that carbon. You need that biology really functioning effectively in the soil. And so that's where there's been some great work done at places like Cornell, for example, to really look at those kind of metrics and what is considered good, you know, a good soil in that sense. But here in California, it's a much more arid environment. And so, for example, getting our organic matter levels high enough is not that easy in California, like it is where there's more moisture in the soil year round in the east. And so that doesn't mean that farmers aren't farming well here. It's just you need to be able to understand what is possible here so that your metrics are scaled appropriately so that you know if somebody's actually doing better than they were before. You have to have the right scale. And so that is part of what we want to lay the groundwork for in this project. It's only a 2-year project, so you can't do everything in 2 years. But by having some of these established demonstration sites that could potentially, some of them also function as ongoing research sites for future projects, we want to start collecting soil samples. And then those will form kind of a baseline measure. We'll get some of these biological indicators on these soil samples, and then that'll be sort of a baseline that can inform future research that can then happen. And when you're submitting proposals, it helps to say, we've already done this work previously. You have more chance of getting something funded if you kind of have a baseline. And so that's part of what we want to do for this project is do a lot of soil sampling, start collecting those biological indicators, see how it correlates with the kinds of practices the farmers are doing as much as we can within 2 years, but then hope to kind of set a really strong stage for future work.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Schallstrom.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a Human Touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
The Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers have announced a final rule amending the 2023 definition of waters of the United States. The final rule intends to conform with a recent Supreme Court decision in Sackett versus EPA. With this action, the Army Corps of Engineers will resume issuing all jurisdictional determinations. The rule will take effect immediately. In response, National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart says the revised WOTUS definition is an important step towards bringing the EPA more in line with the Supreme Court's ruling. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall says the EPA chose to continue government overreach and revise only a small slice of the rule that the Supreme Court rejected. Duvall says they are pleased the vague and confusing significant nexus test has been eliminated as the Supreme Court dictated. But EPA has ignored other clear concerns raised by the justices, 26 states, and farmers across the country about the rule's failure to respect private property rights and the Clean Water Act, according to Duvall. The ethanol industry is renewing its push for sustainable aviation fuel. Renewable Fuels Association CEO Jeff Cooper.
You absolutely can make a carbon neutral fuel, whether it's for aviation uses or for motor vehicles. And frankly, we see some opportunity for ethanol to play in that aviation space as well. There's some ethanol to jet fuel technologies that are emerging very quickly.
The Energy, Transportation, Agriculture, and other departments are working to scale up new technologies to produce sustainable aviation fuel on a commercial basis.
If you take an ethanol plant and pair it up with carbon capture and sequestration, or replace some of the natural gas usage with biogas, or do some other things, you can get the carbon intensity of that fuel down to zero or even negative.
But Cooper says that will take accounting for full well-to-wheel life cycle emissions to maximize tax credits for the fuel, something the Treasury is now working out, but the Environmental Protection Agency's Science Board seems to be fighting.
They're calling for more extensive analysis, and if EPA wants to do more analysis around corn ethanol's carbon footprint, have at it. Any objective science-based analysis is going to show that corn ethanol and the renewable fuel standard do reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Cooper's group points out that the so-called GREET model that measures life cycle emissions as part of the president's Inflation Reduction Act. Biden vowed recently farmers would provide 95% of sustainable aviation fuel in the next 20 years. A longtime U.S. Forest Service pathologist uses decades of observation of local forests to determine threats of disease, invasive pests, and wildfire. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
A 55-year career for U.S. Forest Service pathologist Martin McKenzie has earned him several titles, such as Professional Observer and
Stump Buster,
for his ability to break stumps to find plant disease and fungus that lessen tree mortality, and to identify dead and dying trees in a five-forest region in California.
When these trees die and fall on the ground, they become 1,000-hour fuels, and they'll burn for 1,000 hours when they catch fire. But once you've got dense vegetation in taller trees and low vegetation underneath, it can crown fire, and that's what's the most dangerous. That's what we lose the greatest number of trees.
McKenzie's method for developing his observation abilities is taking one area of forest at a time and spending time seeing and creating his mental picture of what a normal forest looks like versus one that has signs of unhealthy trees and vegetation. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
New data from USDA's Economic Research Service shows the majority of potatoes in the United States are now sold in processed forms such as frozen, chipped, dehydrated, or canned. With the introduction of French fries as a key side dish in quick service restaurants, the share of potatoes that go into frozen products has risen in each decade since 1979. As a result, almost half of all potatoes going into food in the United States are now used to create frozen products, most of which are French fries. Meanwhile, the share of potatoes used as fresh table potatoes has declined decade by decade. Per capita frozen potato availability during the pandemic influenced 2019 to 2021 period. Per capita frozen potato availability during the pandemic influenced period of 2019 to 2021 was up 8% from a decade earlier. According to industry data and USDA research, in the early 2000s, about 90% of frozen French fries moved through various food service venues. Quick service restaurants alone account for about 2/3 of French fry usage. According to Fresh Fruit, the international market for fresh asparagus is going through difficult times. The main world producers, including Peru, are suffering shortages in the volumes of their stocks. These shortages are due to various reasons, the most relevant of which are the natural disasters and atypical temperatures recorded in most regions of the planet. In addition, low yields of past seasons have led to the decrease in cultivation, especially where fertile land becomes scarcer. This complicated situation has also caused prices in international markets for fresh asparagus to skyrocket. There have been increases of up to 40% reported in markets such as Northern Europe and Asia. This generalized situation seems to have compensated for Peru's decrease in export volume, a trend that's been noticeable since 2018. Until the end of July, the country exported 44,481 tons of fresh asparagus for an approximate value of $162 million. That is a 19% year-on-year volume decrease and a 2% value increase.
I'm here today with Noel Cornejo, who's with Vesteron. Noel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Good to have you here today. So we're talking today a little bit about what Vesteron does, maybe a bit about its products, but I want to start off, you know, Vesteron, it's a company that uses the power of peptides. That's kind of, you know, what you guys are all about. Some folks listening in might not be familiar with what a peptide is from a molecular perspective. Could you maybe enlighten us on what a peptide is, Noel?
Absolutely, Taylor. So a peptide is a short chain of amino acids, right? Amino acids are essentially organic compounds that are characterized by having a carboxyl group, amino group, on one side attached to a central carbon atom. Right. Traditionally speaking, when people in the industry hear peptide, their mindset just goes strictly to nutritional. But what very few people realize and are now learning in the industry is that there are peptides that not only have the ability to be nutritional, such as the ones that we are already accustomed to in the industry, but there's also separate peptides that have different branched chain amino acids that have the ability to control insect pests, specifically Lepidoptera.
One of those chemicals that you guys recently put out that is for Lepidoptera and pests, if I'm not mistaken, is Spearlep. It's your guys' newest sort of dual mode of action bioinsecticide. Can you explain, maybe in this context with something like Spearlep, how peptides in a product like that works against the pest?
Giving farmers the ability to put a product out that they don't have to worry about killing any off-target pests out there, right? No secondary mite flare-ups, no beneficials will get taken out, no bees, definitely, right? So the way this does it, this product is an ingestion product. We put out the Spearlep with a low rate of a BT. And the way it works, once ingested, what the worm's going to do, they're going to continue to feed. The low rate of the BT is going to perforate the membrane that separates the midgut from the hemolymph, which is where Spearlep needs to get to in order to access the target receptor. That small opening that's created by the BT gives the Spearlep the access way it needs in order to be able to attach itself to the target receptor and effectively kill the Lepidoptera pest that we're after.
Okay, certainly. I'm just curious, Noel, how would something like Spearlep maybe fit into a larger integrated pest management program? Would it stand alone, or is it better with other things?
So this product is a standalone product. We don't need any other products in the tank, essentially, right? But Spearlep doesn't need to be mixed with any other chemistries, traditional worm chemistries. We've done different trials with some of the industry leaders through UCAR. We've done trials with individuals out of the UC Extension to verify how our product is performing in comparison to some of the traditional chemistries that are out there and currently being utilized against Lepidoptera pests. And what we've found is that our product is comparable to some of those industry standards, the competitors, competing products that are currently out in the market.
With almond and pistachio harvest in full swing, this could be your last chance to get the navel orange worm control you need. Power up late season NOW control with the exceptional flexibility and performance of Spearlep. Spearlep's unique mode of action provides excellent NOW control, and because there's 0-day PHI and it's MRL exempt, you can safely return to the field within a few hours of spraying. Visit Vesteron.com to find your local sales representative or call your retailer to get more information.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.